You may never have heard of the Irish writer Margaret Wolfe Hungerford, but I bet you've used her most famous idiom at least once in your life. It is from her 1878 book, Molly Bawn, and it is, "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder." But even this idiom would be put to the test with the subject of today's episode. This is a story of the pig-faced lady of Manchester Square. Hi, and welcome back to the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. I'm Steve, your host, and it's another History Bite episode. Jane Austen once said, "Let other pens dwell on guilt and misery." And I'm going to take some of Miss Austen's advice and steer clear of the crimes and deaths in this episode. Let's just have quirk. So, my dear listeners, where do we begin? As we saw from an earlier episode of this podcast, the woman who gave birth to rabbits, people really are a gullible lot. This continued in the 20th century, when on April the 1st, 1957, British audiences saw a BBC Panorama documentary on spaghetti trees in Switzerland and how to harvest them. Needless to say, the BBC were inundated with people wanting to get one of these trees, and they were told to place a sprig of spaghetti into a tin of tomato sauce and wait. In defence of the British public, spaghetti wasn't as well known as now, and the documentary had Richard Dimbleby, a well-respected journalist, doing the voiceover. If you've never seen this, just search spaghetti tree on YouTube, or I'll add the link in today's show notes. It really is worth watching. Stories of pig-faced ladies, that is, ladies with normal human appearance, but that of a pig's head, started appearing in Holland, France, and England around the 1630s. The earliest stories had a kind of the frog and the princess aspect, in so much as there was witchcraft involved. And it was always a beautiful woman waiting to be revealed to the most ardent of men. And there were many reports of pig-faced women across Britain and Ireland throughout the years, but none so famous as the pig-faced woman of Manchester Square. Manchester Square is an 18th century garden square in Marylebone in London. It lies adjacent to Baker Street and just behind Selfridges. Since being built, it's housed bankers, lords, admirals, and physicians. At the north side lies a mansion, once called Hereford House, but is now one of London's best museums, called the Wallace Collection. You will find the famous painting of the Laughing Cavalier by Frans Hals here. It also has a dream collection of medieval armour, swords, pikes, battle axes. It's my first stop in a zombie apocalypse. Yep, British Walking Dead would be different with me stomping around in my plate mail. Try biting through that, Mr. Zombie, while my mace on a chain batters everything. But anyway, by this time, over the years, stories of pig-faced women were reported in as much as when people read it, it was almost believable. So when former servant to Samuel Pepys, James Paris de Blois, reported a pig-faced woman living in Holborn in his books, A Short History of Human Prodigious and Monstrous Births, 1731, people generally took this at face value, no pun intended. By late 1814 and early 15, a rumour circulated around London of a pig-faced woman who was living in Marylebone. She was the daughter of a nobleman, young, wealthy, and living in fashionable Manchester Square. It was claimed that she would occasionally venture out of the house in a carriage, hidden by a heavy veil. Several letters to London newspapers reported sightings of a snout protruding from a window or a veiled, silhouetted pig's head in a passing carriage. She was, apparently, 20, Irish, spoke only in grunts, and ate from a silver trough. She had an assistant who, though, was well paid, 1,000 guineas annually, or £80,000 today, became scared, quit, and sold her story to the newspaper. The pig-faced woman was indeed the talk of all London, and on the 9th of February 1815, we saw the following advertisement published in the Times newspaper. For the attention of gentlemen and ladies, a young gentlewoman, having heard of an advertisement for a person to undertake the care of a lady who is heavily afflicted in the face, whose friends have offered a handsome income yearly and a premium for residing with her 7 years, would do all in her power to render her life most comfortable, and undeniable character can be obtained from a respectable circle of friends. An answer to this advertisement is requested, as the advertiser will keep herself disengaged, addressed postpaid to XY at Mr. Ford's, Baker, 12 Judge Street, Brunswick Square. But this was also the days of the George Wickhams of the world, who wanted easy living and a rich woman to pay for it. After all, in the parlance of the recently published novel Pride and Prejudice, it was known that she was in want of a husband. It was into this we saw a further ad. Secrecy. A single gentleman, aged 31, of a respectable family, and in whom the most uttermost confidence may be reposed, is desirous of explaining his mind to the friends of a person who has misfortune in her face, but is prevented for want of an introduction, being carefully aware of the principal particulars and understanding that a final settlement would be preferred to a temporary one, presumes he would be found to answer to the full extent of their wishes. His intentions are sincere, honourable, and firmly resolved. References of great respectability can be given. Addressed to MD at Mr. Spencer's, 22 Great Ormond Street, Queen's Square. Needless to say, his advert did not lead to marriage, and the anonymous young Wickham had to set his sights on other targets. And there, he falls out of historical documentation. But I'm sure, by the end of his life, that rogue had some stories to tell. There were continued sightings of pig-faced women, but the 1814-15 pig-face craze in London was the last occasion which the mainstream press reported the existence of pig-face women as fact. By the 1860s, the fad for exhibiting pig-face women at fairs was losing popularity, although they continued to be exhibited until at least the 1880s. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It certainly made me smile. If you're enjoying the podcast, you just can't get enough, this is your chance to become subscribers and help out the show. I've introduced subscriber-only episodes, so if you want 2 extra episodes a month for less than the price of a cup of coffee, click on the subscriber link in today's show notes and you'll get subscriber-only episodes pop up as normal. You can also just click on the Ko-fi link if you want to do a one-off donation. And for all my wonderful listeners, I'm always curious of how you found the podcast. Send me any tips on how I can improve it. The email is in today's show notes as well. Send me a message. And until next episode, bye-bye.